beloved in the Lord, who come before Him pleading and asking that He would fulfill every promise that He has ever given and give us true peace that can come only through His Savior. I've known a lot of different people in my lifetime. You probably have too. You meet some who are humble, some who are kind of meek and timid. And you meet others who maybe think they're a little bigger and stronger than they really are. My wife and I lived in an apartment, and the apartment below ours had a young man in it who decided he was tough enough, he was going to join a Mixed Martial Arts Federation League, which is basically boxing with your whole body and vicious. So here he goes. He watched the video of who his opponent was going to be. He goes, "I think I can take that guy." And then he told me the story later about how when he actually saw the guy face to face, he found out he was a whole lot bigger and a whole lot stronger than he appeared to be when he watched him on TV. It didn't go so well. When he might have met him face to face, he realized it was a little bit more than he was ready to handle. Maybe you understand that too. We watch on television all these professional sports stars and we go, "Oh, they don't look so big," because they're standing next to everybody else who's 6'6 and 6'7 too. And then you meet them in person and go, "Oh, wow." Face to face. Sometimes we figure the weather isn't a big deal. We can take some cold, we can take some wind, but when you come face to face with the blizzard, with the hurricane, with the tornado, with those straight line winds, and you realize, oh, maybe this is something that's just a little bit intimidating. When you come face to face with something, you realize just how big and how intimidating and how scary it can be. So now imagine coming face to face with God, the Creator of all things, the One who made us and gave us our being, the One who calls Himself God Almighty. He lacks no power. In fact, He has more might than we could ever comprehend. It's the reason why God in the Old Testament told people like Abraham and Moses that when you are in My presence, you cannot see Me fully. He appears in the burning bush so that we don't see Him fully. When Moses went up Mount Sinai, he had to put a veil over his face so he wouldn't see Him fully, because he was afraid that if you saw the full glory of God, you as a sinful human would not be able to live. Now imagine standing face to face before God. And we realize how big of a deal that is. How for people like us who are not worthy to stand in God's presence, it could be very bad. And then we look in Genesis and we hear this account of Jacob, and we see that Jacob is not only face to face with God, he's actually fighting God. He wrestles with God all night. How remarkable that is. And the fact is, the Lord's the one who started it. The Lord went to him and started that wrestling match. Why? What's our purpose and point in all of this? The Lord encourages us to come to Him too and wrestle with Him in persistent prayer, to cling to Him, to hold on to Him. It's really easy when things seem so difficult, when God seems so unreachable, when we figure that maybe our problems really aren't that big of a deal, not worth of His time, not worth His attention, and we just decide to give up. Or when we ask once and we don't get what we want, we go, "Well, must not be in the cards this time." The Lord says, "No, don't give up. Cling to Me." Maybe we learn something from Jacob when we come face to face with God. Let's take a look at that Old Testament reading again. It starts out by saying this: "He got up that night and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he also sent his possessions across. Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled with a man there until daybreak. We have to understand what exactly is bringing Jacob to this point. Jacob's getting ready to return home. He fled many years ago, long before he had wives and servants and possessions and children. He'd fled. And now he's on his way back. But he's afraid. He's afraid because the reason he fled, if you remember the story, is because he had tricked his father into giving him the inheritance and the birthright of a firstborn son instead of his older brother. And his older brother was a big burly hunter of a man. In fact, his older brother Esau had vowed when he found out what happened, "If I ever see him again, I'll kill him." And Esau was a man that you believed him when he told you that. That's why Jacob fled. That's why Jacob ran. And now all of a sudden, here comes Jacob coming back to his homeland, and he hears a report, "Your brother Esau is coming out with 400 men to meet you." Jacob's scared. I don't know if we can blame him, can we? He has every reason to be afraid. He knows what he did. He knows what led to this point. And he knows what his brother has promised to do when they meet again. And he's going to meet his brother. He's going to face his past. So here Jacob stays on the far side of the river. He sends his wives, his children, and everything he owns to the other side to get rid of any distraction. And he stays there. Why? Jacob's going to wrestle with God. Not in the way he thought. You see, Jacob thought he was going to stay on the other side and he'd spend all night in prayer and he would beg and he would plead with his God and say, "I need you to protect me. I need you to bless me. Figure out a way to make all of this kind of smooth over and work out." He's going to sit there in prayer with his God because he needs him now more than ever. But little did he know that the Lord was going to come and physically wrestle with him. Imagine that. Here Jacob is expecting to wrestle with God in prayer, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, in the dark, a man grabs him from behind, and they tumble in the tent. The Lord has a purpose in all of this. He wanted Jacob to learn. And he wanted to give him an opportunity to reflect on the things that had taken place in the past. And now, he wanted him to realize that you need to be persistent. You need to hold firm because I will do what I said. Our reading continues as they are there wrestling until daybreak. Verse 25, "When the man saw that he could not defeat him, he touched the socket of his thigh. And the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated as he wrestled. The man said, 'Let me go, it's daybreak.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' Then he said to him, 'What is your name?' He said, 'Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have fought with God and with men, and you have won.' Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' He said, 'Why do you ask what my name is?' Then he blessed him there. Jacob named the place Peniel because he said, 'I have seen God face to face and my life has been spared.'" There they are, going at it all night. You figure that if you wrestle hard, you're probably tired within 5 to 10 minutes. It wouldn't take that long for me, but someone who knows what they're doing, 5 to 10 minutes, they're going at it for hours. Jacob never gives in. I mean, God, it's understandable. He's God. He can put as much effort and strength and power as he needs. He'll never get tired. But Jacob keeps going. And in fact, it even says that the man, God, when he found out he wasn't going to be able to beat him. That sounds strange, doesn't it? In fact, this whole thing sounds strange. Martin Luther, when he talked about this, said, "It is probably the oddest thing in all of Scripture that all of a sudden God shows up out of nowhere to wrestle with Jacob." But what's odd is that the Lord says he wasn't able to beat him. Let's face it, if God wanted to win, he would have won. But the whole purpose was that Jacob never gives in, never gives up. And as daybreak comes, the Lord touches his thigh. Really, let's figure it's the hip, right? Touches his hip. He dislocates his hip. How excruciating that must have been. And now they keep wrestling. It's bad enough to be wrestling for hours, but now you wrestle with a dislocated hip. I can't imagine the pain that Jacob went through. And yet, he doesn't stop. And the Lord says, "Let me go." And he goes, "No, I will not let you go until you bless me." How much Jacob had changed. How much things had moved forward. When Jacob was a young man, he didn't trust that God would do what he promised, because God had promised that the birthright would be passed on to Jacob. He promised that the line of the Savior would go on through him, not his brother Esau. But he didn't trust that. And Jacob and his mother had put in a plot that they would make sure it happened, because he didn't trust the Lord to do what he had promised. How much things have changed now. In fact, that's the reason the Lord asks him, "What is your name?" You have to understand what the name Jacob means. They gave him that name. It means heel grabber. The reason they gave him that name is because Jacob and Esau were twins. Esau was born first. And how did Jacob come out? Grabbing his brother's heel. But it was also a slang term. It meant one who's cunning, one who's deceitful, one who gets things done maybe by not the most moral means. And that really described Jacob in his early life, to do whatever needed to be done in order to get what he needed to get. Jacob had led a life of trickery and deceit. He had had a life of trickery and deceit on him. It's the reason he has two eyes, if you remember that story, because his uncle tricked him into marrying the older sister. And then he had to work for more years before he could marry the one he wanted. Jacob's life had been filled with trickery and deceit. But not anymore. It's not that Jacob doesn't trust the Lord anymore. In fact, he trusts him so much that he says, "I am not going to let you go until you bless me, because you said you would, you promised you would, and I'm going to hold you to it." And there, in excruciating pain, he doesn't let go. That's why God says, "Your name is no longer Jacob, your name is Israel, because you've wrestled with God and you'd wrestled with men and you won." In other words, God says, "I'm going to give you what you want. I will bless you." How beautiful that is. How amazing that is. And going on from there, Jacob had a constant reminder. Not just that he named the place Peniel, that has something to do with it, but it also says in the verses we don't have before us that when Jacob walked away, he walked away with a limp, because the Lord had dislocated his hip. And I can imagine that even in old age, he always had a little catch in that hip. Sounds terrible, but what a constant reminder. I wrestled with God. I saw him face to face. I held on to him, and he did what he promised. He blessed and he protected. As this account goes forward, you realize Esau doesn't kill his brother. He embraces him, because the Lord's involved. Okay, now we get to the point for us, right? The same encouragement that God is telling Jacob, "Don't let go of me, be persistent, trust that I have in mind what needs to be done." That's what he wants Jacob to realize. That's what Jacob had learned and what had changed his life, changed his name. And he tells you the same thing. You come to me in prayer, be bold, be persistent, because that's what prayer really is. If God says that he knows what we need before we even ask it, and that's in Scripture, if God knows the future, if God realizes what is best for us and what we need for daily life, does he need us to ask for anything for him to know? No. And yet, what does he tell us to? Come to the Lord in prayer. So often in Scripture it tells us to do that. Why then? Because we need to be reminded of what prayer really is. Prayer is us holding God accountable for the things he said he will do. Prayer is really just reminding the Lord to do what he has said he will do. And he says, don't give up. Just because you pray and don't get what you want, don't get what you need, isn't reason to let go. If Jacob had let go, it would have proven that he still should be Jacob. The Lord says, when you wrestle with me in prayer, be persistent, be bold. Don't let me go. Don't let me go until you get what you are due, what I have promised, the blessings that I said I would give, the protection that will be yours. Don't give in. Don't let go. It's really easy when we come face to face with a big, strong adversary to figure, this is too much for me to handle. And we come before God and we see Him face to face and we go, I can't do that. But you can. Why? Why can you now see God face to face, though Moses and Abraham couldn't? Why can you now come before the Lord and with confidence look Him eye to eye? It's because of Jesus. Because He gave up His life for you. Because He shed His blood that you may be forgiven. That's the reason we see God face to face. That's the reason why we say, Lord, I will not let go of You until you do what You promised. I will not let You go until You bless me. And then I'm going to keep holding on. Because that is what You promised. It might sound a little bold. Might even sound a little arrogant. But it's exactly what the Lord tells you to do. So when you come face to face with God, don't give in. Don't give up. Don't figure this is too much for me. Hold on to Him. And say, Lord, You need to do what You promised. And I look forward to the blessings that You will give throughout my life and that promised home in heaven. Amen.